Well, please turn to this passage that we read from Ephesians chapter 5. And as we begin, let me show you a picture. A place for a nice walk. That is actually, for those of you who are interested in pictures and paintings, I think it's a Sam McLarnon. That may mean something to some of you, it may mean absolutely nothing to others, but it's a picture of Murlough Bay. You said, I never thought Murlough Bay looked like that. Well, there's two Murlough Bays, as you know, in Northern Ireland. That's the County Antrim version, and it's a lovely place for a walk. But, of course, you don't have to go to County Antrim, you'll be glad to know, for a walk. You can just go up the road 5 minutes, and you can have a lovely walk. Walk worthy, is the theme of my sermon this morning. Because if truth be told, the Christian life is a walk. It's a journey. It has a beginning and it has an end, although a qualified end, I might add, happily. It begins, where does it begin? It begins at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. That's where it begins. As we come in simple faith and repentance to heed the call of Jesus, to turn from ourselves and our sinful ways, to put our trust in him and to step out on the path and the walk and the journey of the Christian life. And that leads us through many a twist and a turn, many an up and a down, to the end of our lives. It begins at the cross and it ends with our death. But, there's always a but, a glorious but. That is not the end, because in that very famous set of books by C.S. Lewis, the very last one is called The Last Battle. Some of it's on the screen there. Let me read to you his last few words. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Very eloquently put, reminding us that for the Christian, for the person who is standing firm upon Christ, for life and eternity, that even death is not the end. Tell me this morning, are you on this walk? Have you started out in this journey with Jesus? Some of you have not. And I am bound again as a Christian to ask and as a pastor to ask, why on earth not? What is it that's keeping you back? No better time than today. The beginning of September, the beginning of a new term, the beginning of a new season, to come to the foot of the cross, to put your trust in Jesus, and to begin to walk with the Lord. There are many texts where, let me just mention a couple of them to you. There are many texts throughout the Bible that raise this theme of walking with the Lord. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. There is another way that we can walk, but that is not the way we're to walk. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 9 says, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Proverbs 2 and 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Are you walking in integrity today? Romans 6:4. We're buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. My reason for putting up that quick smattering of verses is just to illustrate that this theme that we are on this morning, this theme is a biblical theme. It's one that we find right from the beginning of the scriptures right through to the end. One of the greatest examples of a man who walked with God, you remember? The father of Methuselah. His name was Enoch. It says Enoch walked with God, and he was not. The Lord took him. He walked with God. But this morning, just for the time that we have, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And I want just to draw out three very simple little phrases from this text that call us to walk in a certain way. Now, if you've got your Bible, of course, the context of all of this is Paul is saying that you did not always walk this way. You're now being called to walk in a certain way, but of course, you didn't always do it. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, at the beginning, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's what the original says. Some of the translations maybe doesn't, again, pull out that word walk. That's the way you once walked. Folks, remind yourself this morning that if you're not yet a Christian, you are walking down the wrong road. You are walking down a road of death, literally. And you need to get off that road and to begin to walk on a different path. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul begins to speak. The first thing that he says is this. He says, I want you to walk in love. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If you glance into the context, Ephesians chapter 4 ends with Paul's call to set all bitterness and anger and malice to the side, to take on kindness and love. And he says here, walk in love. Remember reading the words of a well-known pastor from the United States of America. Some of you will know this name, Warren Wiersbe, Pastor Wiersbe. And I'm just going to quote you what he said. It's quite striking. He said, as a pastor, I have witnessed malice and bitterness in the lives of people as I have conducted funerals and even weddings. You would think that sharing the sorrow of losing a loved one or sharing a joy of a marriage would help people to forgive past wrongs or to try and get along with one another. But such is not the case. There speaks a pastor of many, many years' experience. And I suspect the truth of the matter is, if you spoke to any pastor, he would tell you the same. You might be shocked by that, but don't be too shocked. You see, the truth of the matter is that we do live in a society, and sometimes it can even creep into the church, so-called, that bitternesses and malices are held onto rather than walking the way of love. Why should we walk in the way of love? Well, Paul gives us a very simple reason, and it's right there at the beginning of chapter 5. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Or as the NIV has it, dearly loved children. To put it in a nutshell, the Word of God teaches us that if you're a child of God, then you need to walk as a child of God. You need to walk in love. Let me encourage you as your pastor this morning, as we begin a new term, to make a deliberate decision to turn from any bitterness that may be in your heart or my heart, and let's live a life. Let's live a life that reflects Christ's love in our hearts. Ask the Lord this morning, today, at the beginning of this new week, to fill you afresh with a sense and an experience of His love. The hymn writer put it this way, O Lord, who came from realms above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love upon the altar of my heart. It's only by God's grace that we can live and walk in love. Are you walking in love this morning? Or are you holding on to something that's niggling away at you? Let it go. Walk in love. The second thing that we see in this passage is that we're called to walk in the light. And this comes out very clearly in verse 8 there. You can see it. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. If you're a believer this morning, you are a child of God. And you are a child in whom the light of God has come to shine. Again, we can ask the question, why should I walk in the light? Well, let's just draw out a couple of things here. We can't deal with everything that's here. But look, actually the section from verse 3 right through to 14 speaks about this whole subject of being children of light and walking in the light, turning from the darkness. Look what it says in verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Or if you're reading an NIV, because these are improper for God's holy people. Why should you walk in the light? Because you profess to be a child of God. Because you are one of the saints. Because you're part of God's chosen family. It gives another reason in verse 5. Look at verse 5. For you may be sure that everyone who's sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In other words, you're part of God's kingdom. And if you're part of God's kingdom, then you do not walk in the way of darkness, but you walk in the way of light. And indeed, as I've already mentioned, verse 8, Paul says, you are light. Think about that. And you may say to yourself, or to me, without any words, well, if you saw how I behaved last week, there wasn't much light. That may be the case. But the truth of the matter is that if you are a genuine believer, if you are someone who has come to Christ and been saved by the grace of God, then He has put His light in you. And you are to let that to shine. Again, let me just encourage you, this new term, let me challenge all who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ in this place to walk in the light. Let me say this. I don't claim this to be a word of prophecy or anything, but the truth is that there are some people here and you're not walking in the light. You're not. And you should be. And you know in your own heart, even as I say these words, that's true. Be what you claim to be. Be what you claim to be. Be what you are. I was struck recently. I read this story And we've been seeing on the news a lot about the United States Air Force and all that's happening in the Middle East. I read a story recently about a man who's a leader with the Navigators. And some years ago, he was actually placed at the academy where some very talented young men were training for the United States Air Force. And there was one particular young man who said, "I would like to gather other young men around and have a time of Bible study." And he did it, and others gathered in, and it was very, very encouraging. On one particular occasion, one morning, this leader from the Navigators was talking with this group about the importance of walking with God and having time with God. And he just pointed to the guy who had set himself up as the leader. And he mentioned his name and he said, "Look, would you maybe just stand up and tell your colleagues a wee bit about your walk with the Lord?" And the young man, his head dropped. And he actually, there were tears glistening in his eyes. And he said, "Sir, I don't have any time with God. It had all been a fake to set a certain impression amongst everyone else that he was a good leader. It was a fake." And that was a very, very embarrassing situation. But that young man learned a lesson. And I think all the other young men in that room learned a very important lesson. Be what you claim to be. If you claim to be a Christian, be a Christian. If you claim to walk in the light, walk in the light. And the third thing that we have here, the third and final thing, is walk in wisdom. We see it here in Ephesians 5 and 15. "Look carefully then how you walk." Walk circumspectly is what it literally says. What does that word mean? That word actually is a very interesting word. It actually has the idea of looking carefully where you walk. It's the very opposite of being careless and kind of meandering through life any old way. And it teaches us this morning that we need to think, brother and sister, we need to think carefully about what we do day by day. Don't leave things to chance. Make wise decisions and seek to do what you believe to be the will of God. Why should we walk in wisdom? Well, there are a number of reasons that are given here. Look at verse 15. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time, because the days are evil." Why should you walk in wisdom? Let me put it very simply, because life is short and the days are evil. Make it count. Make it count. Actually, that was something recently I'm at that stage in life where I need to be taking a little bit more exercise. And I was going into the gym recently. You can ask me in a month's time if I'm still doing it. So, and I've been on the cross trainer, you know, the thing you stand on and you do this. And I remember before I went to do it, YouTube's a wonderful thing, and my wife doesn't even know this, actually. So I looked up YouTube about using these things, and this guy was on, and he was saying, "Now, for goodness sake, don't be like somebody that I once saw on this," and they were kind of just standing, you know, half-heartedly doing. And the words that he used were, "Make it count. Make it count. If you're going to have a bit of exercise, put a wee bit of pith into it," as they would say up in County Antrim. I'm sure they say it here as well. Make it count. Folks, how many times in the Christian life do things not happen because we just have never got round to doing it? We just have not been intentional enough. You meant to get to the prayer meeting. Oh, you meant to attend evening worship. You meant to volunteer for the Sunday school or the girls' brigade or the youth club. But the truth of the matter is you didn't make it count. And it all just slipped past you. You know, there are many in our world today who are not walking as this verse 15 says. Look carefully then how you walk. Be circumspect about it. There are many who seem today to be quite careless. And I'm sorry to have to say this, that even in the Church of Jesus Christ, there seem to be more and more people today who are just not careful, and they are being careless about things. Communicant members can become careless. Not in a blatant way, but just because they haven't been deliberate enough. They haven't made it count. You know, I think of our own congregation as we prepare for a mission next March. There are over 200 communicants in this church. And I just want to challenge each and every one of them, acknowledging that some are in senior years and some are housebound. But I want to speak to the others. Where are you when the prayer meeting gathers? Where are you at the evening service? Sitting at home? Can I say to you tonight, plan tonight to be at evening worship. What else would you be doing from 6 to 7? So as you start into the autumn season, and I'm going to finish here in a moment, and life is very busy, hopefully it's not too busy that you can't go out with a friend or a family member and have a bit of a walk, but even more vitally, can I say to you at the beginning of this new term, how is your walk with God? Has it even started? Why not? You're going to keep putting it off and off and off until you regret it. I plead with you not to fall into that trap. And maybe you are someone who has professed to be walking with the Lord, but you've faltered, if truth be told. You've stumbled. Well, you know, the grace of God's a wonderful thing, and the grace of God can reach down and it can touch you and it can lift you afresh and set you up so that you can start again. I love that text that the Spirit of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Oh, for a closer walk with God. And as in a moment we sing that song that speaks of walking with the Lord, it begins as we yield ourselves to Christ, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for all who will trust and obey. Amen. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts. We're going to actually turn.